Blog Talk Radio.
Another night, Tuesday night, approaching Wednesday. I hope everybody is hanging in there tonight. I hope everybody's doing good. It's another day. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful night, actually, as well. And we're very lucky that the temperatures are holding in a true spring fashion and that we have the ability to step outside for a little bit and take a breath and get a little fresh air, which is always a good thing. All right, today's been an interesting day in the world of our virus and a lot of political mayhem going on, and I try to stay away from that stuff on the broadcast, so I won't get into the details today, but I think if we ever needed to say our prayers and hope for the best, tonight is a good night because there's some conflict and turmoil in some of the information that we're getting on a regular basis. And there's going to be, you know, no matter what we do, there's going to be stuff coming in the door that's going to be scary and hard to really accept sometimes. And we just have to go through the best kind of day that we can and try to listen to our hearts and listen to each other and listen to the people we love and be safe. And one of these nights, I'm really seriously going to have to dedicate the show, and I'll probably do an hour show that day or night because I'm going to have to vent some of this stuff. You know, I really am going to. I don't want to isolate some of our listeners, and I'm you know, my political, views are my own, and you know, I try really hard to be in the middle. But remember, as a child of the '60s. Born in the 50s and raised in the 60s and being part of, the time of the Vietnam War and deferments in college and protests and everything like that, you know, I have certain views in where I come from and what I've done. And those things have really been a treasure to me. And like a lot of other people, like myself, you know, we lost a lot of our great heroes, some of our leaders that were just the beginning of our growing years. I mean, in 1.5 to 2 short years, for me, when I was in, you know, my late teens, we lost Kennedy. We lost Martin Luther King. We lost Malcolm X. We lost Robert Kennedy. These are leaders that were provided so much hope and so much optimism in times of real turmoil and growth. And those principles and those, heartfelt messages from all of those leaders, people in my generation, they still ring true today. They really do. We love this country. We absolutely love it. We love the history of it. We love it, despite the good and the bad and the differences. But what's happening right now, it's been happening for a while, but you know, sometimes when the when the tough get going, I can't think of it right now. You know, my brain, like many other people's, is a little bit scrambled by this time of the day. When things get tough, the tough get going. Whatever it is, yeah, it's really proven over and over that our ability to withstand stuff is stronger than anybody I know, especially most of the people in this country, my friends, especially my friends of mine, the women friends of mine who are stronger in a lot of cases, as probably the strongest, you know, humans that I've ever known. Being raised by two very strong women, my mom and my grandmother, my father too, but they had my cousins, my aunts, they had the biggest influence on my independence, my strength, my optimism. And I think these days, you know, we have to think about those things. We have to think about where we came from. We have to think about the people that we love and the people that love us, and how we can go forward. And suddenly we're in the midst of something that is beyond any script that anybody can write, any true belief, that we're all united now by one certain thing. Even in the differences between people, we all still have a heartbeat. We all breathe. We all eat food. And we have definite differences in some of our beliefs. But if there was ever a time for us to come together, now is the time, more than ever. And that's how we'll get through this. That's how we'll make, you know, our kids and our grandkids and their grandkids have a future that, while we're here on this earth, will be worth everything. All right, enough heaviness. All right, tonight we're going to concentrate on a couple of different things. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about some of the transitions that some of the restaurants are making. And I'm really excited because I'm going to take you guys on a journey for about 10 or 12 minutes of a radio special that I did not too long ago when I was fortunate enough to go out and experience different food trucks. And this is a while ago when food trucks were still kind of a specialty thing. And now it's become brick and mortar's biggest competition in a lot of ways. People, including lots of chefs that have been in the brick and mortar restaurant business for a long time over the last couple of years, have switched over to food trails and food trucks as their form of expression and form of you know, being involved in the food business. Now, I was thinking a lot about this now because there's so much takeout and so much delivery that's happening. Having a food truck where you step up, you know, and you order. I think some food trucks are still operating under the quarantine where people will order and then they will pick it up just like they would if they were getting takeout, using the 10-foot rule and only allowing one customer to approach at a time. Or maybe they're putting it out on a table so people can pick it up that way. But if there was ever a time that maybe food trucks would be really needed in certain areas of where we live, it would be a good idea if in fact it could be done in a safe way. Because number one, they're already on the street. Number two, they're totally independent cooking units. So they're not, you know, once you know that the people in there for the most part, or person in there is, you know, hopefully a safe, you know, safe cook and does all the procedures that they need to do. But so, you know, if there are food trucks and they're operating in that way, please support them as well. And this special is done at a time where we didn't have a 10-foot or 6-foot rule, where we didn't have to think about wearing a mask and we didn't have to think about social distancing. And I love it because when you travel with me on this little journey, you'll hear the passion that people have and they still have about this industry. And I think in a lot of ways what's going to happen is when things start coming back on again, you're probably, in a lot of ways, it'll go the opposite way, because there are a lot of people who started with a food trailer or a food truck and then opened a brick and mortar restaurant, and then it goes the opposite way too. I know people that have had restaurants for years and they said, you know what, I'm going to become a street vendor because it's a little bit more independent. I can, you know, I can save a lot of money on rent if I invest in my truck, you know, I can put it into the quality of the food, a lot of different stories. So I really do see that the need for them, and also we'll see the need for them if this quarantine extends and it gets a little bit more difficult and we end up having to go into the fall and hopefully not, but even the winter months. I think we'll probably see a lot more food trucks in different parts of our neighborhoods being able to supply meals where people can actually walk to those places and get things to go. It'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. All right. I want to play you something and we'll talk on the other side of it. And I hope that you enjoy it. I really had such an incredible time making this special and I really had a good time eating the food. So I hope you like it. This is Chef Stewart's Food Truck Revolution. Here we go.
I've been a chef for a really long time, and these days when I want something to eat, I try to find something that's a little bit different if I'm not going to cook it myself. Well, do you know there's a revolution happening? It's called the food truck revolution. Right here in the Skagit Valley, we're privileged to have some incredible food trucks where you'll find some of the best tacos and burritos and tortas you've ever had in your life. But in other parts of the country, starting out as close as Seattle and Portland, there's a food truck revolution going on where they're serving everything from blintzes to wood-fired pizza to falafel to buffalo burgers and even sushi. I did some research and found some incredible stories and tales of restaurateurs of people who wanted to get into the food business that gave up the traditional idea of a brick-and-mortar restaurant to get something on wheels. Listen to this. Chefs and foodies alike are getting together, finding trucks on places like eBay and even Craigslist. They're using social media like Twitter to gather followers, and when they're ready to serve and they don't know exactly where the location is, they tweet their potential customers an hour or two before they hit the road, and by the time they get there, there's usually a line. Here's some stories.
Right now there's definitely a street food revolution going on.
People used to think of trailers as just sort of grubby food that you would grab, but it has really turned into a sophisticated part of our food culture now.
Some of the best creative, innovative food is coming out of tiny little kitchens on four wheels.
Red velvet pancake bites.
Fries on the sandwich.
Swaggy beef slider.
Beef tongue tacos.
Top flight burger.
Not everyone can afford to open a restaurant. That's why we opened a street cart to begin with. So it allows these people with some great ideas, great recipes, to serve food to the public and do it in a really open, communal way.
Twitter and other social media has totally changed food trucking. With one tweet, you've now reached 2,000 followers.
It is definitely a food truck revolution.
Some cities, including the Skagit Valley, have had laws in place that are preventing the growth of food trucks happening a little bit faster than in other parts of the country. Like in my hometown, New York.
New York is definitely one of the best food truck or food cart cities. In a lot of ways, it's the birthplace of street food in the U.S.
My name is Dave Venley, and with my brothers Brian and Jesse and our partner Peter, we opened the Cluxco Carne Asada cart in Soho, downtown Manhattan.
Our model here on Cluxco is we like all our flavors to be really bright. Whenever we're cooking or whenever I'm cooking at home, I pretty much just kick up everything a little too far.
The Calexico cart is, you could almost call them one of the original hipster vendors almost. I mean, these young guys from Southern California moved out to New York and were like, there's no good Mexican food here.
These are our roll quesadillas, which are pretty much like traditional quesadillas, except to save some space in this really small flat top, we roll it over an extra time and tuck it almost like a burrito.
Not everyone can afford to open a restaurant. That's why we opened a street cart to begin with. So it allows these people with some great ideas, great recipes, to serve food to the public and do it in a really open, communal way.
I've been coming here once a week.
I come either before 12 o'clock or after 2:30, 3 o'clock, and there's no line. But if you come here right at like 1, 2, the line goes right around the block.
Pretty quickly, we got a bunch of fans, and that gave us a bunch of opportunities where we opened a restaurant down in Brooklyn. Right now, there's definitely a street food revolution going on in cities like Los Angeles and Austin and Portland. And there's a bunch of cities around the country right now that are just producing some really cool food off tiny kitchens on the street.
One place I've experienced this firsthand is Portland.
Portland's a great food city. The majority of the food trucks in Portland are parked on surface parking lots around the city, usually closest to where people work, office buildings, or where people drink, bars. So they generally follow the basic biorhythms of life.
Here are two people who definitely define the size and deliciousness of a sandwich, with a great name to boot.
Roast beef. Hey, we're big-ass sandwiches.
French fries on the sandwich.
What they do is really interesting, you know, because they're not doing your typical chicken salad sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's not really
serviceable. Holy, look at that.
Something that's elevated, something that's using good ingredients.
French fries.
When I was a little kid, I used to put French fries on all my sandwiches and stuff, and Lisa said, oh, that's a great idea. We should put French fries on our sandwiches. And what would you name that? And she kind of looked right at me and said, big-ass sandwiches. Okay, so this is the roast beef Caesar sandwich.
I love that Caesar dressing.
Pinch of the salt.
Dude.
Let that do its thing for a little while.
Homemade Caesar.
Right. The roast beef.
People get to choose what meat they want. Roast beef is the most popular.
Looks really good.
Throw a bit of the romaine over the top. A little pinch of that. Can't ever have enough cheese.
And then, of course,
the French fries.
My favorite.
And that is a roast beef Caesar sandwich.
Amazing. Absolutely delicious. Of course, in Los Angeles, where you have to drive everywhere, food trucks make a lot of sense.
This isn't your old Roach Coach. This is a Nouveau food truck.
And in Los Angeles, where everything is drivable and nothing is walkable, it's really great to be able to walk out your front door of your office building or your house, and you have a huge array of food to choose from right there.
Well, in the state of California, every truck has to park on a commissary every night. There they get the truck cleaned all the way through. So when the operators come back in to start business for the next day, the truck is like a brand new truck.
I'm Chad Fournier.
I'm David Fournier.
And we're the owners of the Visi truck. In the morning, we basically set up, we arrive at the commissary probably around 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we take inventory, we see what we need out of the commissary.
We're gonna go walk in, grab some of our supplies. Everything that we need is at the commissary. It's kind of where we store all of our goods, whether it's our meats, our produce, kitchenware, or silverware, or beverages.
We serve California coastal cuisine. It has a little bit of a flair from the Pacific Northwest. That's where I was trained. The ingredients are all local, fresh and as organic as possible.
We use high quality meats. We use a Wagyu beef, we use a Jidori chicken. And it's something that you would typically find in like higher quality restaurant, but we definitely want to bring it to the street. We got to make sure the water tank is filled up, propane's filled up, drinks are done, and we have all of our paper products.
We got to marinate some chicken.
Every day I got to get the chicken ready, you know, get it pretty much prepped and marinated for the day. Usually it's always a rush because we try to get to our location like on time, beat traffic, and beat the other trucks there.
Prepped and ready, they're on their way.
So we're ready to go. We're headed to our lunch spot over in the valley.
Right now we're going to be tweeting our new location. And when we tweet it, we let all of our followers know where to find us at.
All right, let's get out of here.
Twitter and other social media has totally changed food trucking.
One 140-character tweet can let 2,000 of your followers know where you're going to be.
Food entrepreneurs have figured this out, and they're like, well, we don't need to put an ad in the paper. We'll just get really aggressive with our social media strategy.
So if you're sitting at your desk and, you know, you're a fan of several trucks, during the day, you may get several tweets from them letting them know where they're going to be in your area, what time they're going to be there, and so it's one-stop shopping.
Using social media has saved these vendors lots of advertising dollars.
Empanadas! We found the truck on eBay.
The Magic Bus is run by what you'd probably call hippies.
We had to have a purple hot dog.
Without meat, your life is not complete.
It is definitely the next generation. They're looking for something that's not just a regular sit-down, stuffy restaurant situation.
Our next stop on the food truck revolution is Austin, Texas.
Austin is a fun city to be in.
Austin, Texas has always been known for amazing music, great food, and now food trucks and trailers.
People who like to eat at trailers in Austin like a more laid-back environment to eat in. They want to be able to pop in and go as they please, stop in for lunch, or maybe even for a happy hour after work.
For the last leg of my food truck journey, we went to Minneapolis to talk to some people there to see exactly how this revolution is spreading across the country. And we got some delicious ideas. There are a lot of similarities to right here in the Skagit Valley.
Minneapolis is a great food town. We have amazing chefs. We have great restaurants. We live in the Midwest where the farms are 20 minutes from the downtown area. And starting now, it's a place where you can get a food truck and a cool food truck.
Hi, I'm Chris Lockyer and this is Kathy Lockyer. We own the Magic Bus Cafe in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
The Magic Bus in Minneapolis is run by a family of what you'd probably call hippies.
The Magic Bus Cafe serves hot dogs and tofu dogs because everybody loves hot dogs. When we got a hold of the bus, we thought, you know, our business needs to reflect who we are.
And anybody who knows us, this screams Kathy and Chris.
Minneapolis is currently going through some legislative changes. You're seeing a few more trucks and a few more street vendors come on the scene. We use all beef hot dogs. We split and fry our hot dogs. We caramelize them just a little bit on the griddle. We use a lot of organic ingredients. We use a lot of local ingredients. And we make interesting toppings with them. We do one that's sauerkraut with beets and garlic and onions. We do a relish that we add mango chutney and curry powder to. We have a hot dog that we use organic scrambled eggs, local bacon and cheese on.
Where's the Soulshine dog?
I do.
Here you go, enjoy.
All our hot dogs have fun names to them.
Here's a pig pen with psychedelic relish. I'm making our Give Beats a Chance dog. We had to have a purple hot dog.
Not a great way to get rich, but a really great way to have a good time while you're making a living.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers on the hot dog.
Well, I hope you've learned something about this food truck revolution that's happening all across the country. Maybe with all the incredible things we have growing right around here in the Skagit Valley and hundreds of great cooks, we could start a food truck revolution of our own. Well, you can count this cook in. This is Stuardo Glasser for Skagit Talks.
We enjoyed that. That was so much fun. And now it made me really, really hungry. But the idea of the passion is so much more that I have actually a part two and a part three of the special, because I think there was, I think there was 14 or 15 trucks altogether. And I'll probably air the second part of that series one of these days. I hope you liked it. But, you know, really, these people are so passionate about it. And still that way, the people that I know that have trucks and trailers, currently still are just, it's such an incredible thing. Every day they said, you know, they don't get super rich, but they get pleasure out of working for themselves and doing that. And I'm really hoping that in the course of what we're all going through right now, that these trucks will survive. And I just do have a feeling that you'll see more of a transition of actual regular restaurants who might not be able to weather the storm, come back out in the form of trucks. And then start that process all over again, kind of like a rebirth, you know, in a lot of different ways. All right. Anyway, there's some good news. I guess there are certain people right now who are finally starting to make some headway in the unemployment and trying to get some funds together. Some reports now of some people starting to receive some of the checks, and they expect that more of the stimulus stuff will start coming in over the next week. And I know that's going to relieve a lot of pressure for a lot of us, just you know, who were suddenly, literally, world shape and turned completely upside down, you know, with jobs that we've had and people we work for who really had the faith of us being able to just keep going. And just as something's really getting started, and then to have, you know, the wind taken totally out of our sails, you know. But, you know, like we talk about, and, you know, we try to, you know, promote on our show to, you know, to just be positive and be optimistic. And by the way, I wanted to let you know that Rhonda E. unfortunately just couldn't join us tonight. She had some things that came up for her, and but we miss her, and hopefully we'll see her back on the show pretty soon, because we need her positiveness and we need her her great ideas and optimism for sure. Anyway, that's it. Another thought that I had today, where I was just trying to get some ideas as a songwriter, and I've been spending, in a lot of good ways, spending a bunch of time editing and recording some new music and working on some stuff in my other life besides being a chef as a musician. And earlier today on our early show, I was thinking a lot about, you know, some of the different pieces of music that I've seen people do. And it's so interesting because, you know, you always hope a lot of times, if you're a music fan and you have a lot of groups and musicians that you like, that you'd be able to kind of share some intimate, you know, songs and stuff with writers and people you really like. And now if you scour online, you'll see just about every artist you can think of that we really love and care about are doing, you know, these solo performances in their houses where they're shut in. And some of the stuff is really incredible. And today, if you get a chance, I didn't have the chance to put it on a cart and get it on the show tonight, but I'll try to play it tomorrow if you haven't heard it. But Neil Finn from Crowded House, one of my favorite groups, and he's just such an incredible artist, and I love his music very much. And he did a cover of the David Bowie song Heroes, which is just really just, it's just perfect for what's going on right now, and especially dedicated all to all our health workers and people who are just on the front lines every day, including the people in the grocery stores. And I can't say enough about them during our shows. And I really think his version of this David Bowie song is just fabulous and really great. I also heard, I laugh because it's so Neil Young and Crazy Horse, just released another song and a video called Shut It Down. I believe it's called Shut It Down. And it's, you know, just, you can tell it's put together probably in the last couple of days, but just a great recording, really raunchy, incredible Neil Young guitar and the rest of the Crazy Horse Band, which were some of the great musicians. And the song is called Shut It Down. And of course, that's the hook. And, you know, they're talking about the cities. And he compiled a bunch of footage, a lot of probably drone footage of so many empty streets around the world. And it's just amazing to see. There's a couple of sites that have that video. If you get a chance, please listen to that song and check out the video. And I've watched a few things that were really interesting as far as like some people taking drone footage and making these compilations. And it's amazing in a lot of ways. And of course, it's unbelievable in another. You know, when I always write when they film movies and they're doing these incredible movies and they have to block off like 15 square blocks and they only can do it for a couple of hours. They have to get all the people off the streets. They have to get, you know, of course, it probably takes months of planning. And they have to usually do it on a weekend, early in the morning, as soon as they get decent light, when people are still in bed and the traffic is really eliminated. And I just laugh so hard that, you know, when they do these, I'm thinking, how do they get, you know, now they use green screen and all kinds of digital effects. They don't really have to do it. But before that technology, they would empty out total square, you know, square blocks. And now it's happening for real, which is just amazing to me that all of a sudden they have, just the opportunity to, I don't know, clean the streets and do things like that. It's really just a heart lifting thing. And I think that, you know, in the hardest times, sometimes movies and film and some of the people that we really love, you know, help guide us through. And as a musician, you know, I've been writing some new songs and some things really based on my feelings and stuff that's going on right now. And I'm fortunate enough to have a studio where I can put the stuff down. Friends that I know and lots of musicians that I'm aware of who are locally are doing the same thing. So thank you to all those people who are giving us those in their house concerts every day up in Whatcom County, you know, here down in Skagit, down in Seattle, and the people who may not be world famous to a lot of people, but they're certainly to me, and their music means a lot. Thank you for reminding us of the hope and stuff that we have. All right. Well, we're getting down to just about the end of the show. And how I started talking about this is a Holly song, because we're thinking, I saw a couple of things. You'll probably see lots of pictures of people visiting their relatives and their family members through the window. A good friend of mine I talked to yesterday was telling me that he went up north from where we live here on the island to see his grandkids. And, you know, they were having to visit each other, you know, from about 10 or 15 feet away. And it was really, you know, hard. How do you explain a little grandkid, you know, that they can't, you know, give grandpa a hug and, you know, they just have to wave. And, you know, but I thought of the Holly song, which I really, really love. And the Hollies are a fantastic group. Graham Nash's first group that, you know, that he had when he became famous. So I think tonight we'll go out on this great Holly song. All right, I'll see everybody and hear everybody again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the a.m. for the Wednesday Foodomania morning show. And hopefully we'll have Rhonda E. back tomorrow morning. We'll see how she's doing, but I'll be here for sure. Thanks for listening, you guys. Tomorrow's another day. Be safe. Love each other. Anybody that you wanted to tell you love, tell them tonight, okay? Or her, you know. Here we go. Here's the Hollies. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Foodomania.